Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to us this morning. Through everything that Eric says, reveal your Son to us, that we can see you and be transformed into your very image. And we pray that you will speak through Eric this morning and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's a bit loud. Wonderful to be sharing again. As always, you guys always welcome me so well, and being a fellow elder, for those of you that don't know me, on Dan's team. I've been in Just Gen for 21 years this year. I'm 41 this year, going through a bit of a midlife crisis, I won't lie. I'm looking at boats, yachts. I'm thinking, if I sell my house, can I live on a yacht? Looking at motorbikes, off-road bikes, road bikes. So if you see me in the next few weeks with like a new motorbike, or maybe coming in on like a bicycle, it's because I've spent all my money and bought a yacht in my midlife crisis. But the only thing standing between me and my midlife crisis is my lovely wife and kids. And I thank God for them, because that's a massive blessing. Otherwise, oh, I don't know what I would be. So this morning when I preach, I'm not one of these preachers. I'm not skilled in the way of just every week opening up a different verse and doing these things. I find what God does in me is he really takes me through a season. More often than not, they're tough seasons, as many of you would encounter when God takes you through things. When he wants you to learn something, sometimes like pain is a great teacher. It doesn't always have to be pain, but a little bit of difficulty, you know, builds a bit of resilience in us. And so this morning when I share with you, I really am not preaching at you. I really have been through this thing myself, and I'm going through it myself constantly. So I don't want to say you, it's we, it's us. I really want to include you in that, and not for you to feel preached at, but bringing you into my journey and something, and how maybe you have common ground and similarity with me in this, and we can grow together. And so it's a building block. It's a very important building block in our faith. And it's about relationships. I'll give you the title just now. And why it's important is because essentially everything we have with each other is built on the strength of our relationships with one another, right? And so we've done some serious building blocks as a church this year. We've had Nick preach on being rooted and grounded. We've had Donnie preach on family. We've had one or two in between. Then last week, we also had Donnie preach on about what does church look like, you know? These are all really important building blocks that we understand. Why are they important? Because I don't know if you've noticed, we're growing. And if we don't keep visiting the foundations as we grow, for those that join us, that we love, the whole purpose of us here is to grow, right? Not for the sake of numbers, but for the sake of the kingdom. And we're seeing salvations every week. It's awesome. And so we have to revisit foundations and building blocks. And so the reason why we do that, lastly, just before I mention the title, is because how we build is extremely important. Because if we build healthy, we become healthy. If we don't build well, in time to come, we're going to look back and say, oh, we made a mistake here, right? I've never built a house. I've done renovations and stuff, but maybe some of you are in construction. I'm pretty sure you'd understand that, like, if the foundations are weak or if something is wrong somewhere, you know, you have to change it. You have to fix it early on. And so what I'm speaking about this morning is not something we are doing wrong, but it's something that I want us to build upon so that we can be even better and love one another even more. And so the title of my preach this morning, or talk, whatever you want to call it, is Friendship and Function. Okay? What are you talking about, Eric? So God has created this innate desire in all of us for relationship with one another, for closeness, for proximity, to get to know one another, right? We see this in a very beautiful way, really, in the beginning, when Jesus, in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, where God, sorry, that's the beginning for some of you that had hit the wall and came back at me. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he creates all of these things, and then he creates Adam, and then he says, this is all good, it's all good, except Adam needs a helper, and he creates Eve, and Eve and Adam have an intimate relationship. But look at how God relates to Adam and Eve. It's also intimate, but it's very much in a friendship manner, right? We see that he puts them in the garden to do things, and we see in Genesis 3, God walks. It speaks about he comes again into the garden. There's this walking with them and going away and walking with them. He comes in to find them. And at this point, Eve's already eaten the apple. And so he comes in and they're hiding because their eyes have been opened to their sin. But you can get with me the principle of God comes in looking for the relationship that he has with them, and all of a sudden they're hiding. So you see, from the very beginning, God's created relationship for us, desire within us. And also in modern day, there's a lot of people who struggle. Maybe you meet somebody that struggles with depression. Maybe you meet somebody that struggles with suicide. Very often, there's chemical stuff, but very often there's also this sense of loneliness in those people. There's a sense of, I don't have relationship. I'm not asking you don't have to shout out, but I'm kind of perpetually asking this, why is isolation torture one of the hardest? Because there's no relationship involved in it. You know, you can be in a jail, you can be in a cell, you kind of got a very functional relationship with these people. But if you're isolated, and these people go crazy, because it's just them. And so, it's another evidence that God's created us for friendship is, we see in the Old Testament, we see in Chronicles, you're not going to put these up, just I'm mentioning them. We see in Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles, we see in Isaiah 41, we see in 2 James, Abraham is always referred to as the friend of God. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter what they say about him. It's, oh, this about Abraham. Abraham, the friend of God. Abraham did this, sacrificing Isaac, the friend of God. And so we see all, even Exodus, Moses. Moses referred to, they're speaking about him, and they said, Moses went to see up the mountain, and he saw the Lord. And the Lord interacted with him. In 33:11, it says, and stood before him face to face, like friends do. And there's this friendship, relationship there, obviously on a hugely deep level. And so, why this building block? Because we get so much right as a church. You guys are an incredible congregation. Really, you are. The culture we have amongst us is incredible. You guys love one another really well. You sacrifice really well. You're obedient to leaders. I don't know who wrote the sentence. Did somebody hack my speech here? No, I'm kidding. You guys are obedient to leaders. It's an actual joy being on this team, serving you guys. It really is. You guys do so much well. What happens if life starts to take over? I'm sure maybe many of you might have a bit of a common ground with me here where, if any of you noticing, life is just crazy. Feels like sometimes it's slipping through your hands. It feels like the busyness of life is just taking over. Feels like time is becoming less and less. I've left a picture of myself next to the bedside of my wife so she knows what I look like. I'm kidding, Declan, don't worry. But you know, every season has its thing. And very often we can quickly end up in a place where the busyness of life and these things that fulfill our time leave us with less time and less spare time. It leaves us less time for spontaneity with one another, to build deep friendships. When last did you do, don't answer just in your head, just think, yes, when last did me and a close friend do something spontaneous? And not last week if it's been a year before you've done it again, but how often does just spontaneity happen? Because we count time. Time is like, it's our currency, Just time to even be, for me, some of my best friendships are if I'm sitting around a fire and I'm actually not even talking to my mate. Just want to sit there. Just want to watch the flames. And the minute they start talking, no, shh, 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 shh. Don't want to talk. And so it's important that we have those times, that we make time. It's important that we are cognizant of the busyness of life that some of us get caught up in. And why I say I can feel that some of us are getting caught up in it is because this leads to some words I hear in the corridor. Just, please don't talk when I walk past you now. Don't stop talking to your mates when I walk past you. I don't really hear it in the corridor, but I see it when I meet with people, when I lead people, when I'm pastoring people. I hear these words of, I feel lonely. I feel unseen. It breaks my heart when I hear those things. If 300 of us, and somebody feels unseen, maybe not valued, invalidated or something like that, And this is my caution. I'm starting with the caution. This is the roundup of my caution. Is that if we only, and I'm going to define function and friendship
relationships. If we only rely on functional friendships, we get to a place where potentially we have a very inaccurate perception of what God's family is like and what church should be like. Because functional relationships can only go so deep. Okay? Let me define these two for you quickly, because you like, I can see this one will help. So there's two types. So there's functional relationships and friendship relationships, right? You'll probably find somebody and say there's five types. That's fine. I'm just talking about two. I just found these two. And so the function and the friendship relationships are not divorced of each other. They cannot be devoid of each other, because that's not how God has created this. They are deeply interwoven, but they have different roles within us as a person, and that means it has a different role within us as a church, because that's not the church. This is the church, right? And so it's important that we understand this. And so knowing that it can't be separated, you cannot draw from a functional relationship the living water that fulfills you. You need to draw from the friendship relationship. The friendship relationship helps you overflow into the other things, right? It does not mean you love less. It does not mean it's less of a friendship. It just fulfills a different place in your heart, okay? These friendships are often very good. Let me bring something close to home. So I'm one of the newest elders on this team. Paul was further down the line, so he's the last elder prayed in. But it's a matter of seconds. I'm kidding. So Paul's not here, so why is he not here? But let me use Donnie. Is Paul here? No, he's not here. Okay, so let me use Donnie. Let me use Donnie as an example. Donnie and I have never had a sleepover, believe it or not. We've never. Apparently he snores too loud. That's one of the reasons. But the other reason is because I've come to know him through function. Right? Johnny and I both have ADHD, and so if we have a coffee, 12 minutes in, we've got nothing to say because we've used all our words, and we sit there just watching the waves. I love you. Okay. I don't want to start repenting afterwards. But so it's very, there's a functional element, right? How I've come to know him is function. But you know what? I love him. I've come to love him and his quirks. Lovely wife, and they've come over and met us as a family, and all of a sudden there's this bonding, there's this getting to know one another. And then there's the reality of often those relationships transcend functional relationships and become friendship relationships, okay? And so we, as a church, do functional relationships really well. I didn't say we do friendship relationships bad. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I said we do, thank you, we do functional relationships really well, because we find ourselves on tea duty together, in community together, on a worship team together, serving on sound, putting the words up, all of these different things. We find so much function. I want to ask you to ask yourself, am I making time to build the deep relationships? Or is some of my function having to try scoop water into my tank of friendship, okay? Friendship relationships are kind of very easy to define. Natural relationships, we love fishing together, we love camping together, you know, we just bond, we do things like that. And so you might find like, hey, if you're not a staunch camper, you probably don't have many people in your close circle that are staunch campers and camp every month and stuff like that, because this is the like attracts like kind of thing, excuse me. This is the birds of a feather flock together. And so friendship relationships, South Africa, we're so blessed. We have many, we throw around the word friendship like really easily, you know. You get the macro parking lot where it's like, listen here, my friend. And you know the time for listening and the friend is not real. You need to move away from there. Or you unfortunately you get that like one up kind of friend, you know, every now and again, and you're at a bar and you're chatting with a mate and you're busy getting to know him. You know what? Yeah, peaked in high school. When I was at school, I did this. I used to run the 111 seconds, and then this oak's like, yo, his mate Dave ran it in 10.99. He's always got to one up you and be better. We don't want to be those friends. That's not the friendship that God is modeling for us in his scripture. That's not us. We are the loving, laying down, sacrificial, friendships, okay? And so this is essentially, friendships consist of, I hope somebody started the time because I forgot to start my timer. but it's essentially, friendships are fulfilling. I've heard often ladies say, it fills my love tank. My wife will say, that filled my tank. I'm like, that was investment, you know, but it filled the tank and that's what it takes. Friendships are fulfilling. Fulfilling means like this. When it's not there, when you haven't heard from that person in a while, when you haven't connected, when you haven't bonded, when you haven't sat around a fire or had a coffee or whatever you do, go for a run together, you feel their absence, okay? It's intentional. These are not 3 points in my preach. I'm just rattling off some things. So they're fulfilling, and there's an sense of intentionality to it, right? I make it known to this person, you're my friend. Like, and because I've said that, there's expectation involved, right? I'm intentionally communicating clearly about our friendship. And so with sense of fulfilling and intentionality, I want to tell you an area where I was a really bad friend. I've got very small circle of very, very close friends. And so I've asked both of these people if I can share this. And so one of my friends, Gerard, very astute lawyer, very great mind, I look up to him. He came into my life very much in a functional way at a low point in my life. And he really mentored me and brought me through. Danielle and I were bumping heads, and he came and he's like, Eric, this is what you got to do. You got to be a better husband. This is how you got to lead. This is what you... And it was really like challenging for me in these areas. And anyway, we became friends through, we transcended functionality and we went into friendship. And I noticed that I had some businesses. He did a lot of legal work for me. And our friendship took a place where I was building a business here and letting go of another business. And I would often ask him, legal perspective. Hey, what do you think this? You know, we'd walk on the mountain together. We'd coffee every morning. Not every morning. We'd coffee at least every week or have a breakfast. And I noticed one point, he started pulling away. I noticed it because I felt the absence. I love that man for what he's done in my life. And so when he started to pull away, I felt it. I started feeling a little bit insecure in myself. I was like, have I offended him? What have I done? Have I said something? Nothing has been communicated. Maybe it's just him. And so we didn't have coffee for a week or a second week. And we would phone each other often, every second day, and bounce something past. And there was no phone calls all of a sudden. He wouldn't answer. He would respond to a text message, but it kind of felt a bit distant. And you might think I'm putting this on him. I'm not. It's on me, and I'll tell you now why. Because all I was doing in that friendship for a season, I became overwhelmed. I became, I just became overwhelmed and occupied with the season that I'm in of going from one business to another. And essentially, not purposefully, but I was kind of using him. And every conversation became about legal work and what are his thoughts on this. There was never the ability for him to let down his hair. He doesn't have much hair, but to let down his hair, for those that know him, you know. And so there was never that space. And I wasn't building a friendship well with him. I was taking. And so eventually I said to him, listen, hey, want to walk on the mountain? He said, yes. And I thought, okay, great. I've got this thing. By this point, I'm really struggling because you might be like, oh, why are you struggling? It was a really meaningful friendship. It is a really meaningful friendship. And so the pain of him drawing away from me was greater than me risking going to him and putting it all on the line and saying, bro, what have I done? Because something has changed and I need to know. And so we go walking on the mountain and it's small talk and we see each other and we get halfway up and we get round and I say to him, bro, Gerard, have I done something? And I thank God that he was honest. If somebody asks you, if your friend asks you, have you done something? Are you going to be honest? And he was honest, and that was a major thing that day. And he said, yes. He said, I feel used. He said, all I feel you do lately, is you only just speak about law stuff. There's never friendship stuff. It doesn't go into this two-way space. So I was broken. So we kept going. I think I had a few tears in my eyes, and I, you know, sure, I'm really sorry. And then I turned around and I said, I'm telling you this not to say pat on my back. I'm telling you this because I'm very intentional in relationships. And maybe you could borrow some of that intentionality if you find that it's something you're not great at. And so I turned around, we carried on walking, and I said to him, we were walking in a single track and I was in the front, I turned around and I said, Gerard, you don't actually have that luxury with me. You cannot withdraw from me. Like, and I'm giving it back to him, you know, he should be giving it to me. And I'm saying, Gerard, you cannot do that with me. We are friends, we call each other friends. If you have a problem with me, I've got a strong chin and I've got thick skin. So come and tell me, bro, I'm not digging this at the moment because I feel every time we chat, we've got this. Because that is way less painful than the absence of feeling you withdraw, okay? So if you've got those relationships, you know that. Another two things I would say was it's a two-way road. I said that really. Intentionality. And then there's got to be trust and loyalty. You've got to have this vulnerability with one another. Those are attributes of these friendships. Potentially these things that I've just mentioned, I'll rattle them off again. Fulfillment, two-way road, intentionality or intentional, and trust and loyalty. I would go and ask yourself, are you full of these traits? I'm not saying you're not. Am I? Are you? Ask your wife. Am I good? And be prepared to hear something that's not so nice. But are you? Because sometimes these things can be the reasons why we struggle to build friendship relationships. And what happens then when we struggle is we put functional relationships above that and we draw from functional relationships what we crave in deep relationships. Does that make sense? Everyone okay with that? A lot of people looking at me with skewed eyes. And so I would go as far to say this. In church, we speak about different types of friendship relationships. We've got mentoring relationships, which is where you walk with somebody that's maybe you like something in them. You're a businessman. You want to get a little bit more acumen in you, wisdom in you. Like, hey, lead me in this regard. We have friend-to-friend relationships, which is peers, one another. They're very often easier to let your hair down around, you know. Put your feet up around a bra. You have these things. These are all very important. And then we also get the, what do I say? I'm using this word very loosely. Like, I was this for a long time, like a freebie relationship, right? I couldn't give anything to Gerard for ages. Like, I was a freebie friendship. He was just investing in me. And I often think if we build well, to be wise for us to look at these freebie relationships and see that often this is how Jesus built. When you can't give or you can't receive anything back from the other person, it's very often how Jesus built. We see in the Gospels, we see in Luke 14, I haven't given you to put up, I'm just using it, don't worry. It's about the banquet. And Jesus says to the host of the banquet, he says, don't invite those who can repay you. He says, invite those that can't repay you. And I think the same is, if he speaks about having a lunch or having a dinner or having a function. And sometimes we need to build like that in our friendships. Like, we need to be mindful of those that can't repay us. Because that's the heart of the Father. So I want to go to John 15. And we're going to work from verse 9 to verse 15. And this is the red writing. You can argue a lot about the black and white. You can say, oh, maybe he wrote it like this and this was the culture. This is red writing. This is Jesus speaking. And so Jesus says here, this is Jesus. And he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus speaking about friendship, saying, you didn't become friends because I told you about what God was doing. He said, because we are friends, because I trust, because there's this relationship that we have going, I have told you the things of the Father. I have shared this gospel, the good news, who I am with you. And because of that, I'm showing my love to you, right? It's a beautiful way. When I read this passage, I said to Danielle, didn't it say that he calls us like brothers or sisters or something like that? Oh, and I went through every translation, and it just says, lay down one's life for one's friends. It's really important. You might think like, oh, but that sounds really weird because he says, like, keep my commands. It's actually really easy because do we command in our friendships? No, we don't stand there and give commands. But you could very easily say we have expectations. We expect people to be loyal to us. We expect them to be honest. We expect people not to backstab. We expect people not to lie. Essentially, it's just written in a different way. If it was Bjorn, I'd be like, I wouldn't say to Bjorn, building a relationship with him, bro, I command you not to lie to me. Right? But I have, a command is essentially translated as this, an extremely strong expectation. I have a very strong expectation that you don't lie to me. Tell me the truth, no matter how hard it is. You understand? So don't look at that and say, oh, but my command is this, and he's commanding us to do that. The only command there that you need to worry about is that you love one another as he has loved you, and that you lay down your life for one's friends. So this topic of friendship function, it's a river or ocean, whatever you like to view it, that needs to be navigated really with wisdom and patience. I think if you're sitting here this morning and you think, wow, I have so much functional relationship, I really need to focus on deep. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut functional relationship and I'm going to jump head deep into friendship relationship. I think if you sat there and thought about doing that, it would be unwise. I would say stop. Pause. Likewise, if you were saying, sure, all I've got is deep friendships, I really need a little bit more functional and you want to do the same, I'd say stop and pause, because friendship relationship alone is going to leave you in a place where you feel connected to somebody, but you're not in God's vision of his church and moving forward. You find yourself lacking function and belonging within the church, within what God is using his people to do, right? Jesus didn't come so that the 12 disciples could sit and have a lack of fire. They had lack of times around the fire and built deep friendship. But then there was advancing the kingdom of God, and there was growing this, and there was going out into all the world. And so the other side is, if all you have is function, you don't be unwise and let go of that and aim for head deep in friendship, because you might miss what God wants to do there. You might miss something that you're really tied up and really valuable in the function of the life of the church. As I said in the beginning, the two cannot be separated from each other. But how we lead ourselves in them, and how we grow in one another, and how we grow in those things is important. And so I'm gonna close with this, right? Could close with this. Shanae, I don't know if you want to come up, but this, forgive me if I get excited, because this is quite an exciting thing for me when I see it in scripture. You know, you can hear me saying this thing and function, and you're trying to navigate in your own head how this goes. But I want to show you friendship and function in the Bible, in how letters are written. Now you're thinking, you, Eric, this is a big stretch. So stay with me, because this excites me, right? I've read from John. This is John who puts his head on Jesus' chest. This is that John, okay? Not John who wrote Revelation. And so this John, obviously, if he's done that, we know he's really close to Jesus. He knows how to build really well. We get to that really easily, right? And so John writes some heavy theology. There's a lot of function in his letters. I'm going to quickly bomb up. I didn't give you this one, but the beginning of John. John 1, verse 1, and it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and it gives you, hey, I didn't give it to you. Well done. Oh, no, this is 1 John. No, not this one. So just John 1. And it's deep theology. He is the Word. The Word was with God. And it's giving us deep stuff. Then I want to jump onto 1 John quickly. That one. Oh, even me. That one. That which, and John's, again, deep theology in his first epistle. This is starting to sound like a Fast and Furious sequence. You know, you come like, he's enjoying his own letters. 1 John now. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we have seen with our own eyes. He's laying down deep theology in this letter, okay? 2 John. Now he's starting to like himself because he starts introducing himself as the elder. The elder. Sounds like a modern day rapper. Jason Derulo. And then he sings this song. This is John, the elder. To the chosen lady, and he's writing to this lady. There's a sense of functionality in this. He's laying down theology to her. He's telling her what to do. It doesn't actually matter what it says there. I'm trying to show you the principle of it's a letter aimed at a body that he's not so close with. 3 John, this one again, the elder John, and this is the differentiator. Gaius is a really good friend of John, a very, very good friend of John. How do we know this? Well, he starts it saying, my very dear friend, Gaius, whom I love in the truth. You don't see it how it's written and laid out in a Bible page, but verse 2, dear friend, starts on its own verse. So he's just said, to my very dear friend, and then he says again, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that you may all go well with you and your soul. So he's already in the paragraph of the verse and he hasn't even started what he wants to say. He's speaking about his health. He's speaking about, I pray things are good with you. I pray that it's going well. Let's jump to verse 5. Again, verse 5. Dear friend, it's the very next paragraph. I mean, how many times does he have to say, dear friend? It's like me writing to one of my besties. You know, hey, this is what's going on. Dear friend. And we see, and he writes about, and then he gets into the body and he speaks about this guy, Diotrephes. It's like a one small paragraph. Hey, that guy, Diotrephes, he's not accepting the gospel like he's not accepting people well. So just pass up for him. And then he goes down again and he says, where are we there? Diotrephes is with us. Okay, what verse is that? 9. And then from 10 onwards. So if I come and he refuses to do this, and verse 11 onwards, from verse 11 to the end of 14, again, he says, dear friend, there's so much more of a friendship situation here than a functional theological laydown. And you can see this being written. And it says, dear friend, do what is evil. And he's encouraging him. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does not. And then at the end, the very end, he says, 13, I have much to write to you, but I don't want to do it over ink and paper. Maybe he's got arthritis. But we see in the next letter, in the next one, he says there, I have much, but I hope to see you. You're a mate. I hope to see you what? Face to face, right? I'm not a fan of technology. I'm not a fan of phones and stuff. I really am not. I'm actually useless with them. I sometimes wish we had a little bit of like technology back then, a little bit of license. I would have loved to have seen how this letter would have been portrayed over WhatsApp, over video call. That relationship lived out. Gaius, my mate. And then at the end, he says, peace to you. The friends here, send their greetings. You know, that's like Dan and the team writing to Barrent and the team. Oaks, the friends here, the elders here, we're all really close. We send our greetings there. But not, don't just say, how's it? Say, how's it by name? Because it's intimate. We know you. And so we see in this deep theology from the same person. And we see light, friendship letters, both of utmost importance. And in our lives, do we have healthy balance? Maybe first and foremost, I'd love to go down the space of, do we have friendship with God? Abraham called friend of God? Or is there a measure where our relationship with God, like mine, many times in the past has become functional? I get an identity out of worship, leading a team, an identity out of jumping like a pogo stick in the front. I get this warped, that was me, warped identities and these things that are not of God. And I wasn't actually friends with God then. I just had the look like. But in my heart, I knew I was different. Maybe you this morning, why don't you guys stand with me? Maybe you, somebody's here this morning. Maybe you've been serving God 20 years like I have. Maybe this is your first time in a church. Just close your eyes where you're at. Just do some introspective work here. Maybe you realize that actually there's something of a functionality in your relationship with God that you really desire to transcend into a friendship. That's for those who have had a relationship with God. For those of you that haven't had a relationship with God and haven't ever committed or wanting to commit to knowing Jesus, to knowing God as a friend, I'd love to offer you that opportunity this morning. I'm lifting my hand for you, not for everybody else, for you. If you want Jesus as a friend, you want God, you want to know God as a friend, you want Him to know you as a friend, please lift your hand for me so I can get people to pray with you. Please lift your hand. Just enjoy the rain. Don't worry about the rain. If that's you, show me your hand. Let me see it. I'll let you put your hand back down. I just want to see it. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone else, that's all right. All eyes are closed. No one's looking. You don't have to be nervous. Thank you, Jesus, for the rain. Rain down, Lord. For those of you that, if you haven't ever committed to that and you feel maybe you don't want to raise your hand, come and talk to me afterwards. I'd love to pray with you. But for those of you that are here that feel like, oh, Jesus, actually, I need to know you as a friend way more than what I do. I need friendship relationship with you. Just allow God to minister to your heart, just where you are, just whatever it is for you. Just maybe lift up your hands, open your hand, whatever it may be. I'm not telling you what to do. Just find God in that space. And I definitely want to make space for those amongst us who, I want to say this tentatively and cautiously, but for those amongst us who haven't built friendships well with other people in the congregation, I want to make space for you to go and find that person. And just, you know what? I didn't love you how Jesus showed me in John 15 to love you. I didn't lay down my life. I didn't lay down my pride. I stood on my high horse and I wanted to be right. I wanted to be the one. If that's you, if you're being walked towards by somebody, don't run away. Let them come. If that's you, go and find somebody. Worship team's just going to play maybe one song, or you can just play one song and just go for it. But where you are, do business with God yourself. If you've got to repent to somebody, you've got to find somebody and confess, find them. Thank you, Jesus.